It is good to see you. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, I know it is. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 2. That's where we're going to be. If you don't have them, the passage will be on the screen tonight. But it is good to be with you. Thanks for being patient with us. And seating and parking and all of that. You just never know how many folks are going to show up, but we're so glad that you showed up. As we were just singing and as we were reflecting over here and singing and kind of looking around the room, some of my favorite people are in this room, and I'm just so glad to be able to do this with you tonight. I say it often. I was asked last night, and I think it's a little bit of an unfair question, but which do you like more, preaching at Christmas or at Easter? And I was like, ooh, I don't know. That's a tough question. My response was, the message at Easter is more weighty, and I love that message. They're both good, right? You don't have one without the other, really, essentially. But I said, the thing I love about Christmas is it's just kind of like we're just together. You know, it's like we're here. This is part of our week. This is part of our Christmas to come here. And that's why we wanted to do something a little bit different tonight and just have Jeff at the piano with everybody singing around. We wanted to just kind of feel like we were all sitting around the living room. It's a pretty big living room with a few people. But we just wanted to sing together some old Christmas carols and all of that. But how's everybody doing? You good? Good. I'll tell you this. When we were on our way here, all six of us, we rode together to church this afternoon, and which was pretty exciting. That usually is not a norm for us, as we kind of arrive at different times. But we've been kind of playing some Christmas music. We've been riding around the last couple days, looking at Christmas lights and things like that. And there was a song that came on that caused me to kind of go into a bit of a fit of rage. This afternoon on the way to church. It was called Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. And I don't know about you, but I'm all done with that. If you prayed for a white Christmas, I'm praying for you. And here's the reality. Like, some of y'all think I'm just bah humbugging on the snow right now. Look, we could have had a white Christmas at like 9 o'clock last night, but it just kept snowing. I don't even know if it stopped. Like, has it stopped? Snowing? Some of you have got, no, it hasn't. People are shaking their heads. Thanks for that encouragement. All right. That's awesome. And I was out plowing this morning, and then my kids got in the car with me, and they were like, Daddy, isn't the snow just pretty? Isn't it beautiful? Look at it on the trees. Isn't it so pretty? And I was like, get out and walk. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to me? Like, 15 years ago, it was pretty. Now it's like, no. It's pretty. Here's what I will say. I will add a caveat to this, right, for those of you in the room. Right? It's pretty if you don't have to move it, amen? If you've got to move it, you look at it really differently, right, Jeff? Yeah, okay. All right, very good. Let's get to the point. Luke chapter 2, that's where we're going to be tonight. And I want to point out a few things from Luke chapter 2. It's the Christmas story that we all know. Many of us might even read it tonight or tomorrow morning in your living room, in your house. But that's where I want us to point our attention tonight. But outside, when it comes to Christmas Eve, and the reason we do this at dark in the evening is because, you know, Christmas, the dark settles in early. The year behind us at this point has been long, right? And for some of us, it feels like a flash, but the year's behind us. I talked to a couple people as you were walking in, and I said, hey, is everything done? Are you all ready for tomorrow? And I heard one person respond to me, well, it better be, right? Because at this point, if you showed up tonight and you found out that Christmas is tomorrow morning and you haven't done anything, bless you. Right? But for many, it's been a joyful 2025. For others, it's been heavy. Something may have shifted this year. Some arrived tonight celebrating while others arrived limping and surviving. And whether we name it or not, we all come carrying a quiet awareness that the world is not yet as it should be. Can we agree with that? The world is not yet as it should be. No matter whether we're coming in here rejoicing from our 2025 or we're coming in here limping. But that right there is precisely why Christmas Eve matters. Look at your neighbor and say, Christmas Eve matters. Christmas Eve matters. That's precisely why Christmas Eve matters. Because Christmas doesn't begin with sentiment. It begins with darkness. Christmas begins with darkness, and into that darkness, God speaks. Into that darkness, God acts. Into that darkness, God sends his son. And so the Cadmans lit the Christ candle. That's what we call in this season of Advent, this season of waiting and expectation, the candle that gives meaning, as I was praying, to every other candle. We don't have hope. We don't have peace. We don't have joy. We don't have love without the person behind those things, that's Christ. And Scripture tells us plainly that the light of Christ did not come into this world because the world was ready for it. The light of Christ did not come into this world because the world was ready for it, but because the world desperately needed it. Luke chapter 2, let's look at verses 1 through 7 together. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Verse 6, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. There was no place for them in the inn. The first thing that we see tonight is that the light came into the world. So let's back up. A decree goes out from Caesar Augustus. The emperor speaks and the world moves. Rome is in charge. Order is enforced. Taxes are collected. History seems to be written by those with authority, doesn't it? But quietly and almost invisibly, God is doing something greater in the background. A young couple travels to Bethlehem, no palace, no crowd, no recognition, and there, in conditions that only can be described as humble, the eternal Son of God enters the world. And what I love about Luke's recording of this is he doesn't romanticize it, right? He doesn't try to make it something that it's not. There's no room. There's no fanfare. There's no explanation given to the watching world, just a baby laid in a feeding trough. And it's here that we must, everybody say must, pause. It's here where we must pause. It's here where we must sit and reflect on this, because the light of the world does not arrive by conquering darkness with force, but by entering it with humility. You see that? The Christ candle, or the candle that we look tonight, the Jesus candle, reminds us that God's answer to darkness was not distance, but presence. That God's answer to darkness was just to come and be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. He came near. He took on flesh. And the beauty of it is, this is not a myth. This is not a metaphor. This is not just a tradition that we do at Christmas or celebrate or talk about. This is God keeping his promise. This is God keeping his promise. Secondly, look at verses 8 through 14. We see the light announced. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. You imagine? Just all of a sudden, you're out there doing what you do every night. And an angel appears, and the glory of the Lord, which is probably unfathomable as we're told in Scripture and other places, just appears, and they're filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. We see the light announced. I don't know about you. If we were writing the story, if I was writing the story, I won't speak for you. How about that? If I was writing the story, I might announce the birth of Christ to, how do I put this? People with a voice, right? To people with a voice. I might announce the birth of Jesus. I might try to get a hold of some people that have a significant following, right? That could help spread the word, right? And if we're thinking about this in biblical times, I might try to announce the birth of Christ to kings or to priests or to people that would be able to get the word out. But I want you to notice something. God uses shepherds. And the thing about shepherds is they were on the margins. They were in the fields. They were accustomed to darkness. They did not have a following. They did not have a following that didn't have four legs. Their followings didn't speak their language necessarily. And so the fact that the angels announced the birth of Christ to these shepherds, and suddenly heaven breaks open and an angel appears and the glory of the Lord shines around them, fear is a natural response. Because light always exposes, doesn't it? But the angel speaks the words that define Christmas. Do not be afraid. I was camping, first time I ever went camping, I was at a music festival in Atlanta, Georgia. I was at a music festival in Atlanta, Georgia with a couple friends, and my brother was with us, and one of his friends, they drove us there, and there were six of us in a tent, I was a teenager at the time, we wanted all of the t-shirts that we could get. We wanted all the merch that we could get, right? And so there was a Hardee's down the street. If you've never heard of Hardee's, I don't know what to tell you, but they've got sausage biscuits. And back in this day, this will tell you how long ago this was, they're probably like $6 or $7 now a biscuit. Wow, really? But back then, you could get two sausage biscuits for a dollar. Two sausage biscuits for a dollar. They were 50 cents a piece, but you had to get two of them to get the 50 cent anyway. So basically buy one, get one free. They were 99 cents if you just got one. Okay, but anyway, and so we made the decision we were gonna be smart teenagers, okay? I know that sounds like an oxymoron, okay? But we were gonna be smart. We had a plan because we wanted all the money that we could have to get this merch. And so we decided that we were gonna load up every morning on sausage biscuits and then not eat lunch or dinner. Okay, and so we're saving money so that we could get more merch. And so pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good. Well, Mom had sent me with a box of Nutri-Grain bars. Okay, she had sent me with a box of Nutri-Grain bars that were strawberry flavored. Okay, and so one night I was extra hungry. And I decided that in my sleeping bag, in the tent, okay, I wasn't very bright. The sausage biscuits were about as far as it went for me, as far as brightness that week. And so I decided in the tent, while everybody's kind of laying down to sleep, I was hoping that most of them were asleep, I was going to crack open one of those Nutri-Grain bars because I was just super hungry. And I wasn't sure that I was going to be able to fall asleep without anything to eat. About 2 minutes into it, two bites, 2 minutes, you know, I'm savoring it because I'm hungry, right? I'm savoring every bite of this. All of a sudden, one of my friends yells from across the tent, "Does anybody else smell strawberries?" I'm like, "No. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. No, I don't. That's weird that you smell strawberries. I'm denying. Then they're like, well, do you hear the crinkling? And so they're all like talking about it. And everybody's awake now. I thought everybody was asleep. Now it's clear to me. Everybody's awake. My cover is about to be blown, right? And so I just shove the rest of it into my mouth. And all of a sudden, the flashlight shines on me. And the Nutri-Grain wrapper is on my chest. And I get beat up. Anyway, and hindsight being 2020, right? Hindsight being 2020, I deserved everything I got that night. I deserved everything I got that night. Let's just say I didn't get any more Nutri-Grain bars. They took all of them. And I probably deserved that too, right? But I was okay. I had deniability. Right? I had everything that I needed to try to cover this whole thing up until the flashlight came on and their eyes could see. It could be a rumor. It was going to be hearsay all the way up until the flashlight flashed on me and the light announced that I had something that they didn't have. Back to the light of Jesus. The light of Jesus came to save, not destroy. Good news of great joy for all people. A Savior's been born. Not a suggestion, not a teacher, not just a moral example, but a Savior. A Savior. And what we need to see is glory to God in the highest, peace on earth among those with whom He's well pleased. Peace does not come through human effort. It comes through Jesus. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Jesus. And then look at verses 15 through 20. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go get the Nutri-Grain bars. Let's go over to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now I want you to see that the shepherds respond to the light of Jesus in three ways. And ways that still define what it means to encounter Jesus today. Number one, they go and see. They go and see. After the angel speaks to them, they all look around and they say to one another, let's go. Let's go and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And see, what we got to know about the light is that faith moves. Faith responds. They don't analyze the message to death. They just obey it. They go. It's like Sprite back in the day. Obey your thirst.
Is that still a saying for Sprite? I just drink it now. I don't watch the commercials. I fast forward through as many commercials as possible,
right? But faith moves and it responds. The shepherds are an example for us today because with the light of Christ came, they went and saw. They went and saw. Then they made it known. They made known the saying of the angel. They made known the happening out in the field, out in the pasture to Mary, to Joseph, to everyone that was out there. And the reality is those who meet the light, those who meet Jesus, they can't keep it to themselves. They can't keep it to themselves. Go tell it on the mountain, right? That Jesus Christ is Lord. And then thirdly, they return glorifying God. How many of you know whenever you have an encounter with God, you come back changed? Whenever you have a burning bush experience like Moses did in the Old Testament or on the mountain when he saw the glory of God, or whenever you experience the glory of God, you're not the same. And a lot of us experience these things in different forms and different times. But I want you to see one more thing. I want you to see why the light came. Zan and Sherilyn read this text to us during the reading. from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all the people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives during snowstorms. It says in the present age, verse 13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Luke tells us how the light came, but Paul here in Titus 2 tells us why. The grace of God has appeared. Grace is not earned, grace is revealed, amen? And notice what grace does in this text. It brings salvation. It trains us to say no to ungodliness. It teaches us to live differently. It creates a people eager to do good works. And Jesus didn't come merely to forgive sins. He came to transform lives. And so the Christ candle doesn't simply shine forgiveness. It shines formation, that God is forming us into a people after his own heart. And Paul reminds us that Christ has come, but he will also come again. And so in a moment, we're going to light our candles. And the worship team's going to come back, and some folks are going to come down here. And in fact, I'm going to go ahead and light my candle off of the Christ candle. And just really quickly, before we continue, one instruction is that as we do this, the lights will turn out. Let the person that you're lighting the candle from hold their candle like this, and you take your unlit candle and turn it upside down and light it that way. That way we don't have any of this happening and any hair set on fire, okay, Amy? You got that? But as we light our candles, we're proclaiming something deeply profound tonight. That light has come, the light still shines, and that the light is intended to be shared. That the light is intended to be shared. And so the flame is shared, and as it is shared tonight all over this room, my prayer is that it would remind us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that no darkness, no sorrow, no sin, no night is strong enough to extinguish him. So let us receive the light, let us share the light, and let us walk in the light. God, tonight I pray that as we sing and as we remember, as we hold these lights, that we would see you as the light of the world, that we would receive it, that we would share it, and that we would walk in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.